maybe more than a couple, but we'll start with a couple. Wonderful passages of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. Amen. Of course, this is the prophet Isaiah speaking to Israel. And notice what he says. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. So he's speaking directly to the people of God. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Amen. Two very vivid pictures there that Isaiah gives concerning those, really just encouraging them to look at where they came from, to reflect on what they were, to remember where you came from. Amen. I know that probably a lot of us here tonight, we saved when we were very young. But some of us, it doesn't really matter your past. But what the challenge here from Isaiah is to look back, to reflect upon your past, and to remember the rock that you were hewn from. To remember the hole, the pit, from whence you are digged. Amen. I think it would do us all well to reflect upon where we would be if it were not for the grace of God. What would have happened to us if it had not been for God's grace stepping in and hearing the voice of the Lord and God changing the whole direction of our life. Praise God. Amen. If it had not been for the grace of God, where would we be? When you see that person out there in their sin and you wonder, you know, they're in addiction and their lives are wrecked and messed up. And that's the kind of person that we say about them. That's me if it wasn't for the grace of God. That's where I would be. And God's no respecter of persons, and he loves them as much as he loves me. And that's the message. That's the message that is intended to motivate, and this should motivate all of us when you reflect upon how good God has been to you. You remember the stone you were hewn out of that was hard and not responsive, but God worked on you. God worked in your life. He chiseled away at all those areas of your life that were not pleasing to him, and he did a work in your life greater than you could ever imagine. The goodness and the grace of God. The stone that you were hewn out of, and the hole or the pit, the deep place that you were in, but God reached down to where you were. Amen. Glory to God. And pulled you up out of that pit. Digged you up out of that pit. Praise God for the faithfulness of the Lord. There go I, but for the grace of God. When you see that lost person, terrible thing to look down your nose at someone in their lost condition. That's a terrible thing for a Christian to do. And I believe that Isaiah is saying, remember where you came from. Remember what could have happened to you and the condition that you could have been in. Hallelujah. Now skip on down to verse 10 of the same chapter. This is Isaiah 51 and verse 10. Art thou not it which had dried the sea, the waters of the deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Another version of that is, who hath made a road in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And he built a highway through the the low places, through the deep places, through the depth. Amen. When people are at their lowest, God can step in and make a road for them. Amen. A road whereby they can be redeemed, whereby they can be saved.
Glory to God.
Verse 11 says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Amen. What brings the return of the joy of the Lord back to the house of God? I tell you what brings joy back to the house of the Lord. When people are redeemed. When people are born again. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, when little babies are born in your house, it just brightens everything up. Amen. 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 What would this world be without babies? Amen. Without little children. What a joy that they bring to a household and to a family. And I think that every Christian family needs to have a bunch of babies. Amen. Amen. A lot of babies. Amen. It brings joy. Amen. To a home. The same thing is true in the house of the Lord. When you see people redeemed, when you see people brought into the kingdom of God, born into the kingdom of God, little baby Christians born into the kingdom of God, bring joy in the house of the Lord. We need that, folks. We really need that. I'm talking specifically to us as a church. I mean, a lot of us have been serving the Lord for a long time, but we need some little baby Christians around here. Amen. A lot of them. Little baby Christians. And I know that they require a lot of attention, just like little babies do. They demand your attention. They demand your love and your willingness to kind of overlook their mistakes and their failures. But they're born into the kingdom of God. They're little babies that are brought into the kingdom of God, and they bring joy back to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Yes. What a wonderful thing it would be to see the altars fill up with people. Amen. Coming to know the Lord, getting born again, getting saved. What joy that it brings back to the house of the Lord. That's what Isaiah is talking about there. And that is true in Luke chapter 15. And those the account there of the three lost things. They're in Luke chapter 15. First, the lost sheep. Then the lost coin. And then the lost son. When he leaves the 99 and he goes out and searches for that one lost sheep and he returns, then he says, it's time to celebrate. Let's have a party. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. That brought rejoicing back in to the household. Amen. The lost coin, again. Just that one lost coin is lost. But she sweeps and she searches and she finds that one lost coin. And after she does, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. The rejoicing is over the lost thing found. The lost thing found. The lost son is the third lost thing. The father said to his servants, this is after the prodigal that's went out and wasted all of his inheritance with riotous living. Finally comes to himself, finds himself eating where the pigs eat, eating of the same thing that they eat. He would have. And then he had an awakening and realized, if I could just get back to my father's house, I would be willing to be a servant there. And he comes back. And the father sees him afar off and welcomes him. Amen. He welcomes him with a kiss. He welcomes him with a ring. He welcomes him with a gold chain. All of it was symbolic of, you're back in the family. You're back in the family. You're restored. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry again. Amen. Three lost things and three celebrations. Three parties, three times of rejoicing and joy because the lost have been restored. Praise God. Amen. That's what brings joy back into the house of the Lord. That'll bring joy back into your life. If you allow the Lord to use you to reach out to somebody, to reach that one lost person. Now, Brother Darrell, I didn't give this verse to you, but this is in the book of Jude. Only one chapter there, so it's Jude 22 and 23. Jude 22 and 23. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You see, compassion is different than just concern or sympathy. It's one thing to look at the lost and say, isn't that sad? Isn't that awful? But compassion goes beyond just concern or sympathy. Compassion is a word that speaks to action. Action. You do something. Compassion involves action. It involves a move toward bringing someone that's in need to a place where they can find help. Praise God. Of some, have compassion or take action to reach out to those that are in need. And then the last part of that verse is making a difference, to take action, doing something, to come to the aid of someone, to make a difference in someone's life. And of course, in this case, make a difference in someone's eternity because you have compassion for them. Amen. It's a sad thing if we could go on about our lives and we ignore and we don't pay any attention to those that we come in contact with that don't know the Lord. We get all wrapped up in our lives, our families, our needs, and our time is consumed with all of that, and we don't even see them in their lost condition. We don't even see those that desperately need the Lord, and many of those that God brings you in contact with have compassion. Make a difference. Jude 23, and others save with fear. Now he's speaking about the awesome seriousness of this. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh. Another version of that is snatching them out of the fire. Amen. Let me tell you, we meet people all the time and we have no idea how much time that we, of course, none of us know how much time we have left in this world. But there are people that are out there living in such wicked ways that their lives are in danger because of their lifestyle. And they're close to eternity, almost so close that the smell of smoke is on them. And that's what Jude is describing. He's saying, snatching them out of the flames, pulling them out of the fire while there's still an opportunity. You remember recently when there was this terrible flood in Texas that the first few hours or maybe the first day or two, all the first responders, they call it, we're in rescue mode right now. We're in rescue mode. That meant there's a certain time frame, a certain open window when there's the possibility that we could still save some lives. And so they go out and they're in rescue mode, searching frantically because time is of essence. When you're in the rescue mode, there's an urgency. It's time sensitive. You have to be willing to move just at the right time, when they would switch the rescue from rescue to recovery, when you would hear the announcement that now it's in recovery, that means there's not much of a chance that they're alive. That means that we're just recovering bodies. And you can feel the heaviness and the weightiness of it. But we're in rescue mode right now when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the souls of men. We still have a window of opportunity. We still have a time. Right now, we have an urgency that should be laid heavily upon our hearts to recognize there's an urgency because they're lost. And we don't know how much more time they have. We don't know how long the door of opportunity will remain open. So we're in rescue mode right now. Amen. There's still hope for a lot of your friends and your loved ones. Right now, there's hope for them. And so while we're in this season, while we're in this opportune time, let's show compassion. Amen. Let's take action. Let's be concerned about those that are in need. Fanny Crosby, famous hymn writer, wrote thousands of hymns. She was blind, but yet God inspired her to write poems. And then there were a couple of music partners with her who wrote the music, the actual music to her hymns. And we sing them lots of services. We sing Fanny Crosby songs. Fanny Crosby in 1869 was in New York City in a mission there. And during the visit, she felt compelled to urge someone that was present there that had strayed away from their mother's teaching. Very specific. They had strayed away from their mother's teachings. And she impressed upon them to seek God now. Seek the Lord right now. In that meeting was a young man that later responded, confessing that he had promised his mother when she was dying that he would meet her in heaven one day. But in his life that he was living, he had got away from God and was far away from the Lord, but just happened to be in the meeting when Fanny Crosby said, "Somebody here in this meeting has strayed away from the teachings of their mother." And that young man immediately knew it was him. And he prayed. And he received the grace of God and the help of God. And his life was turned around, turned back to the Lord. Praise God. That night, Fanny Crosby penned the lyrics, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus that's mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save." Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're in rescue mode. Amen. Right now, amen. We do have an opportunity, but it is time sensitive because we don't know when the Lord is going to come, or we don't know when he might call some of your friends and family members home, that they would take their last breath and you would lose the opportunity to tell them about Jesus and to make an appeal to them about their spiritual needs. Amen. So the message tonight from Isaiah was this: remember where you came from. Remember where you were dug from, the depths of sin. Remember where you are at. And let that be a motivator to you. Let that motivate you so that you can be used of the Lord to help make a highway through the sea, through the depths of the sea, to provide salvation and redemption for those that are in the lowest place, furthest place away from the Lord. Amen. God can do that. He can do that. It's amazing what God can do through the power of redemption. Amen. My friend Robert Holmes, he was a young man, drinking all the time, partying all the time. That was the lifestyle that he lived, and a wicked lifestyle. But someone invited him to church in Laird Hill, Texas. Have you ever been there? Anybody ever been to Laird Hill, Texas? My wife has. I have. Jonathan, yeah, okay. Jonathan lived in Laird Hill, Texas. Bless his heart. Well, that's where Robert Holmes was at. And he went to the house of the Lord, and G.D. Tucker, already gone to heaven, preached the gospel, and Robert responded to it. Long hair down on his shoulders, rough-looking character. But he came back to church that night, and Brother Tucker said, come on, come up front, sing with the choir, get in here with us. And Brother Holmes said, he loved me into the kingdom of God. He just loved me into the kingdom of God. And little by little, he began to make the changes and make an adjustment in his lifestyle and began following after the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. A mighty preacher, a mighty missionary for God that God used in such a wonderful way, establishing churches and Bible colleges in Nigeria. God used him in a mighty way. And it's that was the pit that he was dug out of. Amen. That was the rock he was hewn out of, and God shaped him and made him into a man of God, a preacher of the gospel. That's what God can do. Praise God. That's what he can do in the lives of people. Amen. So folks, we're in rescue mode right now. And over these next few weeks, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity now that we might not have very much longer. So let's say yes to the Lord, and let's be willing to take a look at our own experience and be grateful for where he's brought us from, and let that motivate us to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Instead of asking everybody to stand, although I know you most probably will when I make it the appeal this way, every one of you here tonight, that you have someone, family or friend or loved one, that's not serving the Lord, would you stand up right now? You have someone, friend or family or loved one or neighbor, somebody. Yeah, this is pretty much 100%. Amen. Glory to God. Think about where you came from. Think about what God has done in your life. Remember the pit you were dug out of. Remember the stone that you were hewn out of. And let that motivate us tonight. Amen. To reach those that you're standing up representing here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, God, that you can speak to our hearts about the needs of people. And Lord, I know the greatest